Lord God, I pray you'll just release to Jan all the words that you have for us this morning. We thank you for your sweet presence with us, Jesus, this morning. And pray you just continue that through the words that Jan has for us. Amen.
Thank you. I do feel part of the Marlowe family. And it's just lovely to look around and see all you lovely smiling faces. Now, I do believe, because of the box of risk, that you're on a series about what is the gospel, what is our faith, and getting out there and sharing our faith with others. And one thing that I know for sure is that we are being watched. If our neighbours and our friends and our families in any way know that we are Christians, they are watching us. And one of the questions that I think is on their mind is, what difference does their faith make to them when the hard times hit? Because let's face it, the hard times do hit. And I think it is something that people will be watching and looking and saying, what difference does this Jesus they talk about make during those times? So this morning I'm wanting to come and share. And what I'm sharing is part testimony. It's part some of the things I've been learning on my own journey. And my desire this morning is really to bring encouragement to any of you guys who are going through difficult times. But also I want to release testimony from this congregation. Not my testimony, but your testimony of who Jesus is to you through the difficult times. So this talk is called Hope in the Valleys. And maybe we can start by all speaking out loud Psalm 23, which is very well known to all of us, but I think there's a real power in us speaking out the word of God. So let's say this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, these really familiar verses have brought me so much personal strength and revelation of who the Good Shepherd is. But there's also some practical advice here for us on how we walk through our own valleys. So what is the darkest valley? What is the valley of the shadow of death? And I'm not going to spend much time defining this because it's different for each one of us. Here's an example and another one. So what is a dark... I'm going to leave that one up. I think it should stay there. So what is a dark valley to us? Sometimes it can be something that is very sudden, that suddenly plunges us into a dark valley. It could be a diagnosis. It could be a relationship crisis. It could be a financial problem. But it can also be something that in a sense, it creeps up on us, something that's happening internally. So something like anxiety or depression or addiction, we almost don't see it coming. And then we realise we're actually in a dark valley. For Robin and I, we've been sort of walking in a bit of a dark valley for, we worked it out, about 10 years now. About 10 years ago, Robin, who was in the military, this is Robin on the front row with me, for those who don't know him, he was in the military and he got sent to Iraq, and he was there for a year in the middle of Baghdad, and it was during one of the, well, very, very difficult times in Baghdad. For him, he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, every day. But for me, watching on back at home as his wife, I was also walking through the valley of the shadow of death, waiting, listening, hoping the press weren't going to turn up at my door with bad news, just praying and hoping that he'd be safe and he'd come back okay, which he did just about. Not long after he got back from his year in Baghdad, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So at this point, I was walking literally through the valley of the shadow of death. And Robin was having to be the one walking alongside me and supporting me and watching me go through that. So in a sense, it was his valley as well. Then I get better, and lo and behold, what happens? Robin then gets sent off to Afghanistan for a year. And once again, he's walking in that valley, and I'm walking with him. Now, not to be outdone, because, you know, we don't want it to make it a competition. When he comes back from Afghanistan, I'm then diagnosed with metastatic cancer, which basically means that it has actually spread throughout my body. And that is still currently the situation that I am in. And I'm currently back into chemotherapy. Again, I am literally walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And bless him, Robin is once again walking that valley with me. So that's our situation. But, you know, it is good to recognize when we are in a valley. It's good to recognize what season we're in. And finding hope is not in denying that the valley exists. It's facing it firmly and squarely. So the question is, what is our valley that we're walking in? And to realize that hope is what we can experience when we are actually within the valley. It's not just a faint optimism. Oh, it'll be all right. It's far more solid than that is hope. Because hope is the confident expectation of good. And you know, hope is also that we can experience now when we consider the future and any future valleys we may go through. Because many people live in this fear of a valley coming, even when they're not in it at the time. A fear of the future. And it's in a sense finding that hope now so that we need not fear the valleys to come. So Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it is interesting that this verse talks about walking through the valley. And this whole concept of walking through difficult times and coming out unharmed is common in many verses in the Bible. In a sense, it's like sticking your hand into a crocodile's mouth and coming out unharmed. Here's one here, Isaiah 43:2. And look at these words that talk about walking. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now, it doesn't say here that we will never experience the waters or the rivers or the fire. But the promise is that we will come through unscathed. And why? Because he is with us in those places. So what's the significance of walking through the valleys? Well, first of all, we know the Good Shepherd leads us along the right paths. That's another verse, isn't it? He leads us in paths of righteousness. And the thing about walking through these dark times is that it is a journey. It is a process. It's not our final destination. It's a pilgrimage of discovery that we are on in those dark places. And you know, with the Good Shepherd who's leading every single day, there's always something new to see and new to explore. There is some new grace to experience in that place, something changes when you're in those valleys. And it is also a place where there's always the possibility of breakthrough. Today could be the day when there is breakthrough and you're out of your valley. In fact, I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking, do you know, today could be the day I get healed. In fact, while I'm standing here talking to you, I could get healed of this cancer. Why not? And guess what? Marlow congregation will win the testimony of the year competition. I will allow you that from Maidenhead, that you can have that honour. But you know, it could happen. It could happen that today could be the day of breakthrough, because our God is a God of breakthrough and he loves to bring it. Therefore, we don't need to settle in the valley and say, well, I'm just going to make a camp here. We've got to keep moving through the valley we're in. And you know, we have to be careful of thoughts and statements either we make over ourselves or other people that says, it will always be like this. And you know, if we've been in a valley a while, it can feel like that, can't it? That hopelessness. It will always be like this. We just need to beware of those things. Things will never improve. Or even, I am a valley dweller. That actually, despair, self-pity and hopelessness, they will help to bang in the tent pegs if you get out your canvas in the valley and decide you're not going to move on. I tell you, those things are there ready to, in a sense, settle you forever in the valley. And that is not God's desire for us. And you know, there's a temptation as well to be identified by the valley. I am a cancer victim. No, I'm not. I am going through a valley, which includes cancer, but it's not who I am. A divorcee. I'm a failure. It is easy to take on identity, which is based on our valley experience, but it's not who God says we are. So who does Jesus say we are? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Even when we're walking through the valley of darkness, it never changes the fact that we are his people. We belong to him. He is our good shepherd. And we are the sheep of his pastures. Now, a change of season, for example, if you find yourself in a valley, often needs a change of footwear. Now, I'm one of these either or people. So I have to say, there is one day of the year in the spring when I make that decision, the boots are going in the cupboard and the flip-flops are coming on. I have a nice manicure, and out they come. The feet come out for the summer. Yesterday, I reversed the process and the flip-flops went away and the boots are on because it's a new season. Okay, let's face it, it's been a bit muddling the last couple of weeks, really, hasn't it? But when we move into a new season, whether it's a valley or not, sometimes we need to change our boots. And we may think, well, you put on your boots when you're going up on the mountain, don't you? But do you know, sometimes taking a long walk through a valley, we have to wear the footwear that is right for us to keep making progress through that valley. You see, we don't know how long a valley may last. It may be just a day. So, for example, we're at work and we hear that there's a threat of redundancy. And immediately you're plunged into a valley and all your thoughts of finance and security and what identity all come into play. You're in a valley. And then the next day you go and you hear, it was just a rumour. Your job is secure. So in that sense, your valley has only lasted 24 hours. Praise God. But you know, valleys can last for years. And at the moment we have some friends of ours who are actually have the job of looking after three parents who all have dementia. For them, the valley for the parents, but also the valley of supporting the parents, well, it's going to be there for a long time. So we need to be properly equipped with this determination that we are going to keep going through our valley. It's not the day for casual flip-flops, but it is a day to put on perseverance and courage. Do you remember Nancy Sinatra, those of a certain age? She had a song she used to sing, which I won't sing for you, very grateful. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. Doodaloo, doodaloo, doodaloo. And maybe this should be our song, that actually, the footwear we're going to put on is going to crush the work of the enemy. Romans 16:20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." So there are things we can put on, boots we can put on, whose purpose is to crush the work of the enemy while we're in the valley, and we will then walk in peace. The God of peace is the one who is leading us through those valleys. So here's just a few practical things that I think we may need to change if we find ourselves in a valley experience. For one thing, we may need to seek professional help and counselling. If we find ourselves in a situation where we haven't got all that we need, go and find someone who does, who can impart that to us at the time. It may be that we need more rest. Remember in that psalm, he leads us by still waters, he restores our soul. The shepherd wants us to rest and restore, and this is really important if we're going through a lot of difficult things. Please note, this is not building a house. This is not putting up our tent and staying in that place. It is taking time to rest and restore. Another thing I've discovered is to choose friends and conversation carefully. Some people are helpful at supporting you through the valley. Some people add life to you, and some don't. Enough said. I think you know what I'm saying. I don't mean you shut yourself off from other people who maybe have needs, but just be careful and make sure you spend more time with life givers than life drainers during your valley time. Watch more comedy and less Nordic noir box sets. Come on. Chuck on Netflix is Robin and my guilty pleasure at the moment in this area. I just put that out there. Increase recreation and fun. Increase it. This is the time to be, even if you don't feel like it, increase, put yourself in the environment of recreation and fun. And I would say re-establish your purpose and calling. Remember and review what God has said to you in the past, because the enemy would so like to rob you of your not only your identity but your calling and make it seem impossible and bring despair. So review those things that he has said to you and called you to. Hold them to the front of your mind. If we know how best we connect with God, then put that as a priority in your life. So if you connect with God really well through scripture, make sure you're having enough time to read. And it may be that needs to change. I've actually changed the translation of the Bible that I read. I'm reading the Passion Translation a lot now. And I'm just finding that helps me and gives me life. You may need to read small portions or a verse at different points of the day rather than sitting down with your Greek and Hebrew, you know, sort of, which I know you all do. Or it may be you actually do need to sit down and get out your dictionaries and lectionaries and go deep into the word. But whatever it is, you know, find what gives you life. If you find walking in nature is where you connect most with God, get out every day into whatever the weather. Get a dog. That'll certainly bring you closer to God. If it's silence, if it's music, you have permission from the Lord and from everybody else to do lots of what strengthens you in the Lord when you're in the valley. You don't need to feel, oh, I should be doing something else. Whatever strengthens in you in the Lord, you do lots of it. And the other thing I would say is stay in the flock. And this is like quite important. Because do you remember the parable of the lost sheep where the lamb gets stuck? It's a very firm favourite childhood parable, isn't it, that we look at a lot. But do you know at the end, when Jesus rescued the lost sheep, and we don't know why it was lost, we don't know what had happened to it that made it wander off on its own, but when Jesus, the good shepherd, took hold of it, he brought that sheep home, which means bringing that sheep back to the flock. It is always the Lord's desire that you are in the flock, in the family. And yet when we're going through hard times and we feel vulnerable, there is a lot within us that may want us to withdraw. Don't withdraw from people. Don't withdraw from other Christians. As I say, we may need to be wise about who we're sharing with, who we're spending time with, but don't withdraw. And you know, the church isn't always the best place to be when you're going through the valley. For at some times, there are people who won't understand. There are people who'll be glib. There'll be people who will say really crass things. The week after I was initially diagnosed with cancer, and it was announced at church for prayer, someone came up to me at the end of the service and said, "Oh, Jan, I knew somebody who had cancer, and their eyeball fell out." Now, okay, on a scale of encouragement from 1 to 10, there wasn't really anywhere I could put that on the scale. Apart from the fact they actually cared for me, and I know that person cares, and they were just groping around for any point of connection they could find with me. Now, that one was funny, and actually it was so funny that actually it didn't go deep with me. There was somebody else who came up and said, "I know somebody who's had exactly the same diagnosis as you, and they had both their legs amputated." Do you know, that was tougher. And that actually lingered with me for a year or two, so much so we started looking at bungalows and things like that in case that. But, you know, it's that is not my journey. That was somebody else's journey. I only have to walk my own journey through my own valley. That one is not mine. That was a harder thing to shift off. So with that, I would just say be careful. Be careful in the encouragement you bring to people. But stay in church. Because, do you know, those two comments could have made me run. It could have made me think, I'm going to come in, you know, I'm going to be not speak to people, or do I really want to be there? And yet, you know, if I'd done that, I would have missed out on so much. Because along with those one or two crass comments, which do actually make me laugh now, do you know, I'd have missed out on so much love. So much encouragement, so much prayer, so many hugs. And I look around here and I know you guys are part of that. And that is why I am doing so well and have been able to walk and still walk through this valley with my head high. It's because of you guys. So just that is, don't separate yourself from the life givers, because they're really important during this time. The valley of the shadow of death. Now, this is interesting. Note that it is shadows. And it's always good to ask, when you're in a bit of a valley or dark place, is there an enemy to actually fear here, or are they just shadows? You see, we live in a culture of fear. So it can easily come upon us. We can come under the atmospheres of the world around us. The news, other people's experiences, difficulties, they can cast us into shadows. And you know, the presence of shadows doesn't mean that the sun no longer exists. In fact, without the sun, there wouldn't be shadows. Yes. It's because there's a sun beyond there that causes the shadows. So we need to be looking through the shadows, the fog of fear and hopelessness and despair around us, to the sun that is beyond. And ask ourselves, what is the truth and what is a lie that is filling our thinking and taking up our focus in that place? Am I really under threat? Or is this other people's stuff or the atmosphere of the world that is coming over me? Do you know, there are good and beautiful aspects to valleys. And a valley is often a place of refreshing. It's often a place of restoring water. It's often a place of the beauty of waterfalls. Robin and I, a few years ago, visited Lauterbrunnen in Switzerland. And in that valley, there are 73 waterfalls in the valley. Do you know, there's all the snow-topped mountains. It's a great skiing area. So there's a lot of beauty about being up in the mountains. But there is a lot of beauty through walking in the valley. In fact, Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. So the good shepherd, whilst we're in the valley, is providing this water for us. Still waters, but also these waterfalls of his love and his mercy and his goodness that sweep over us. And although vision, it is wonderful to be on top of a mountain. I love mountains and I love to get the wide horizons. And sometimes I just say, Robin says, oh, where should we go today? And I just, I need wide horizons. Wherever you take me, I need just to be able to see far and wide, whether it's the sea or mountains. And their vision from there is wonderful. But there is something about the valley where we can have a joyous focusing on the details in a valley that we miss when we're on the mountaintop. It's often a time for reflection on detail. For example, something that's blessed me a lot in my resting times is birdsong. And I think when I used to be rushing into the car, out to the car, here, there, everywhere, I used to miss that. And now when I'm having to rest a lot more, I'm hearing the birds. And it is just such a blessing for me. And it is the same that in the valleys we hear the whisper of the Lord and the beauty of the Lord in a way that maybe we don't get when we're up on the mountains. And it's often there is a microclimate that develops in a valley that produces growth. It facilitates growth in that microclimate. There are things we can learn in the valleys. There can be a change in our priorities in our lives that come during the valley times that grows us in our maturity in Christ. I won't say in a way that nowhere else can, because God can do it anywhere and in any way. But I'm just saying to look for that. It's part of our hope in the valley, is there is internal growth and strengthening happening in that place. But this amazing Lord is with us in the valleys, and he holds a mountaintop perspective all the time. So he can give us that mountaintop perspective even whilst physically we are still in the valleys. Because he always has that perspective. So it's possible to have an internal life of wide and spacious land, even whilst we're still walking through the valley. Does that make sense? Not to say that we are cut off from that vision, because the Lord can give us that internally, even when our external circumstances haven't changed. And you know, sometimes we can be a valley because the Lord is transitioning us from one place to another. A valley is a great way of getting from one place to another without going over the tops of the mountains. So we may feel, what is this season I'm in? It feels slightly dark. It feels shadowy. It feels uncomfortable. This is different to what I have known or journeyed before. But the Good Shepherd is actually in the process of leading us to fresher and upgraded pastures. He's actually wanting to upgrade us. So don't, that's the hope, isn't it? Don't despair keep walking through, because you're actually going to better pastures than you've known before. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I said before, hope is the confident expectation of good. So how do we know this valley that we're in is not a place to feel threatened? And this is where our confidence rests, the presence of God. I won't fear evil because you are with me. And if you think, this is a good shepherd, he's the one who says, we are his people. We are the sheep of his pastures. He's the overcomer of all that is evil. He's our protector. He has promised that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. So focusing on him actually with us means that we never have to fear evil and what it can do to us. Often I say to myself, where is Jesus in the room? For me. I have to be absolutely that precise in focusing in on the presence of God. It's actually, he is here. Jesus is in the room. What difference does that make to my heart when I realise that Jesus is actually here in the room? Where is Jesus? These are good questions to ask. Where is Jesus in this valley? Where is Jesus in this valley? Where is he in me at this moment? And the words that just keep me going are, stay close to the shepherd. Just stay close to the shepherd. Do you know, my theology's gone very simple. Jesus is the saviour. Jesus is the healer. So I'm going to hang out with him a lot. I can't work out all the theology of healing. I have what we declare and don't declare. And what I get that in my head, our authority. But the reality for me has to be, stay close to the shepherd. That is what keeps me walking. Because if the good shepherd is with me, then surely everything around me changes. My perspective on everything changes. If God is who he says he is, if God loves us as much as he says he does, then why would we fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? Your rod and staff, they comfort me. He's the God of all comfort and encouragement. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says he is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Romans 15:5, the God who gives endurance and encouragement. Possibly better than one or two of his people are able to do. But God is always pouring endurance and encouragement because it's part of who he is. So if he is in the room, we have endurance and encouragement. Now, I could look, and many people have, at the various functions of the rod and staff. But suffice to say, he is fully equipped with everything that we need for our protection and care whilst going through the valleys. And there might be one or two people who just need to hear that. He has everything you need for your protection and for your care whilst going through the valley. He has the tools, he has the strategies, he can look after our hearts, whatever. Do you know, sometimes we try to define what goodness looks like. Hope is a confident expectation of good. And sometimes we try to define quite narrowly what that looks like. So I could say goodness is that I get healed. Now that would be great, wouldn't it? That would be good if I got healed. But does that mean that if I do not get healed, does that mean my life is without his goodness? And therefore I lose hope? No, because although I know he desires for me to be healed, although I know it is his will for me to be healed, although that is where I am walking through the valley to that with an expectation it could happen this morning, but if it doesn't, that does not mean I lose hope, because his goodness is so much greater than if only I could get that job, if only I could sort of have that house, if only I could get healed, if only I could get married, if only I could have a baby, if only, if only, if only. If our definition of what is good is defined only to our limited list of what would make us feel that God is good, we are going to miss out on the most amazing goodness of God that is over our lives all the time. In everything, the Good Shepherd is doing good, and his goodness is not limited. Therefore, we never have to be without hope. And as I've said, one of the things I've found so amazing is the kindness of God, expressed in so many ways. Practical help, good friends, words, acts of service, scones, jam and cream arriving through the post, still waters, green pastures. Do you know the Lord is so practical? He sends me funny movies to watch, beautiful scenery, medical interventions, powerful prayers by children. Do you know there are little children in our church who pray for me every day? That just makes me want to kind of weep with the kindness of God that that would happen. The goodness of strangers. Do you know he's onto it? He has his compass. He knows the way through the valley. He is taking me to a wide and spacious land, which he gives me loads of vision and promise for. You see, he's the Ancient of Days. He has walked this way before. I'm not the first person to go through a valley. God hasn't fallen off his throne and is panicking about this. He has seen this before. He has seen it and he has wept over millions of people in their valleys. He knows. He is the Good Shepherd. He's walked this way before. He can be trusted. But his desire is to take us out of that place into that wide and spacious land. So maybe we can just say these together, because sometimes we need to declare our hope whilst we're in the middle of the valleys. So can we just say these two together? You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There are enemies. Yes, there are shadows, but there are real enemies. And it's good to identify which enemies are real and which are not. Some fears we may have may come from a perceived threat, which isn't real danger at all. But some fear is when there is a clear and present danger. And if you remember back to our biology lessons, we're in a school, so it should immediately come back. Our bodies kick in at times of fear with fight or flight. Do you remember that? Fight or flight. And you know, sometimes it's good to fight. We're told to resist the devil and he will flee from us. There's a time to stand with the word of God and fight against the enemy. Sometimes it's good to run, to flee into the name of Jesus, flee into that strong tower, get yourself out of that situation where the enemy's lies and words are coming at us. But what I just want to share before I finish is that there is an alternative given to us by God when we're facing our enemies. And this is kind of like what I'm trying to do in my place in the valley. Psalm 23:5 says, he prepares a table before me in the face of my enemies. Now, I can ask Robin from his military experience that when the enemies are coming at you, it is not the natural thing to do is to sit and have a picnic. That is not your military response, though it is good to eat your rations so that you've got a bit of energy and strength. But it's not the normal thing to do, is to sit and have a picnic when the enemies are facing you. When a threat comes, often we rage, we fight aggressively, or we can go into denial or run away. But in this psalm, we've got this good shepherd who's laying out a banqueting table for us in the face of our enemies. It's extraordinary, isn't it? That Jesus himself, the good shepherd, provides for us a place of where we can sit with him. And he has designed it perfectly for us. It's a place of inner peace. It's a place of overflowing love. It's a place of intimacy. Because we're told that perfect love casts out fear. Now, we don't have perfect love, but he does. So as we sit with him, his perfect love is a bigger truth than the fear that we have in our own hearts. Do you know, when we sit with at the Lord at the table, the enemies may disappear, but they may still be there. They may always still be there, but at a distance. You see, when they look at us sitting at the table, who do they see sitting next to us? Jesus. So when the enemies look at us, they see Jesus, and they have taken him on before, and they lost. So when we are sitting close to Jesus, the enemies can't do anything apart from make a lot of noise. He shares so much that is good and kind with us in this place. It's a place of authority and empowering. You anoint my head with oil. We can often feel in the valleys that our destiny is lost, our calling, our anointing. But actually, in that place, once again comes that confirming word of the Lord. This is who you are. This is who I've called you to, your royal identity, your royal anointing. And it's a place of abundance. My cup overflows. Do you know, a shepherd would run oil, I love this, onto the head of sheep to protect them from ticks getting up their noses and their ears. Isn't that great? Because those things could be very destructive to them. And I would say, in the valley, beware of the little ticks, the little things, the irritations in life, the little thoughts that would worm their way into our noses and our ears and cause destruction. And I like to think that that overflowing of oil, the Lord, the shepherd anointing our head with oil, means that the Lord can deal with those little stuff as well. So we don't need to sweat the small stuff. We're not going to get lost in the small stuff, because there is hope. And finally, my cup overflows. We can be hopeful because our God gives in abundance. There's no want, there's no lack. He knows how to take care of our souls. He knows how to fill our hearts, even whilst we're in the valleys. And it's with an overflow. And in a sense, that brings us back round to the beginning, that actually we have an overflow for others, even when we're in the valley. So it's not like I have nothing to share or give of the life of Jesus because I'm going through a tough time. No, even more now do you have something to give to people, and that is hope. And that you have enough, we have enough, because of the provision of the Lord, even in our valleys, that will bless other people and that will touch and inspire and give to other people. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, valleys. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And just to finish really on this slide, which I just love, which sums up everything really. He is the most amazing shepherd. He knows how to take us through the valleys. He knows how to care for our heart. And when the Lord says, stay close to the shepherd, this is the image that comes to mind. Stay close to shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the source of our hope. So let's stay close to him, as he surely is always close to us. And we will find that the hope that we find in our valleys gives us a testimony that the world so longs for. That when difficulties come, there is hope. And his name is Jesus. Thank you.